You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 23rd of January 2023 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I want to begin today by correcting something I said on Friday. I was talking about women and I said giving women the vote has resulted in them giving up on having children. And that's not strictly correct. I'm basically conflating women having the vote with women being able to get easy divorces and women being able to work. I mean, it all sort of happened within the last 100 years. Women being able to get an easy divorce means that we have far more broken families now. Children brought up without two parents. Women being given the vote means that we get lots of liberal parties that get voted into power. If you were to remove the female vote, it would all be right-wing parties that get voted into power. And it's not wrong. It's just that women have a more of a nurturing side to them because they're supposed to be raising children. So they're more emotional. So appeals to emotion will appeal to women. And that means that you end up with parties that appeal to emotions that a man would look at logically and say, well, we shouldn't really be doing that. But if it appeals to emotion, then women are likely to vote for it. So we end up with left-wing parties. And finally, if you allow women into work, as we will see, they're at work instead of at home raising children. If they're going to be at work, they either have to have somebody else look after the children or they don't have any children at all. So it's really the rise of feminism and women going into work that has led to them not producing enough of ourselves in order to replace ourselves. So I wasn't really correct saying that it was giving women the vote that was responsible for that. I was getting it mixed up. But there's three main issues there, I think, that have caused us problems over the last century that we can't really go back on. Once you take the lid off something, you can't put the lid back on. You just have to work out ways that we can deal with this, ways that we can correct this. As I say, one of the problems there is with these political parties that we have that appeal to people's emotions. And this is really the reason why we have such an immigration problem at the moment in white countries, because the government will say, well, look at these poor children fleeing from war zones and they're being preyed upon by these people traffickers. They're running this terrible risk of drowning at sea. And people that don't really think about these matters think, oh, well, yes, we've got plenty of room in Britain. We've got plenty of jobs. We've got plenty of money here. We've got plenty of room. We've got a free NHS. Why don't we help these people? And then also you get on the television that white people oppressed non-whites and stripped their lands of the resources. And you get people that think, well, it's about time we helped out some of these other people. So instead of looking at things logically, things are looked at emotionally. And we end up with the situation that we're in now, where we effectively just have open borders. If anybody breaks into the country illegally, they then just get put up in a hotel. If they then make an asylum claim and it gets refused, they then have the option to use legal aid in order to challenge this and to stay within the country. And that's before you even start looking at the numbers of people that are coming in that actually have serious criminal records. And that's the subject of what I really want to talk about today. Hundreds of serious criminals, including a convicted murderer, a serial pedophile, and an Islamic State jihadist have been found among the boat migrants landing in Britain, unopposed by the tens of thousands, according to a report. And I think it was about 40,000, 42,000 that we had last year. It means that we're probably going to have about 85,000 this year, because it does keep doubling in number. And when these people come over here in these little boats, they tend to throw away all their documents, so you don't actually know who they are. We don't know who they are. And they tend to claim to be of the ethnicity that is most likely to be allowed to stay. A couple of years back, it was Syrians. If you claim to be a Syrian, then you're pretty much guaranteed you'd be able to stay. And then it was Afghans. You could claim to be Afghans. I think now it's probably Ukrainians. If you claim to be Ukrainian, you're probably more likely to be allowed to stay. Of course, and then you've got an issue that people might say, well, hang on a minute, you're a sub-Saharan African. How can you be Ukrainian? Of course, then they might say, well, I was given asylum in Ukraine, or I was in Ukraine as a student, and I've had to flee the war there. So you get all these excuses that people will come up with. And if they've thrown away their documents, then you've really got no way of telling who they are. But if somebody has been in trouble with the law in the country that they are in, not for political reasons, but for violent reasons, such as it says here, convicted murderer, pedophile, Islamic State jihadist, and then they can end up being detected in Britain. But then you have the problem of we still don't send them back, according to this report. And how many of these serious criminals, violent criminals in their own countries, how many of them have managed to break into Britain? I mean, these are just the ones that we know about. And of course, these are just the ones that end up being given a ferry ride to the coast by the lifeboat. We don't know how many of them just actually make their way across without being intercepted. And we don't know how many serious criminals there are among them. The Sun, the United Kingdom's highest circulation non-free sheet newspaper, according to Audit Bureau of Circulations figures going up to 2020, claims to have received a dossier of evidence on almost 1,000 migrants from a whistleblower at a government security agency that oversees threats to national security. I think The Sun's always been the most popular newspaper in Britain. It appeals to the largest number of people. But the important thing about this is that it's somebody who's actually works for the government that is pointing this out. And we recently had news stories that we even had illegal immigrants working for Border Force. And we had corruption at Border Force. So it's not just that these criminals are getting in. It's just that we're even employing these illegal immigrants in order to check on the illegal immigrants making their way in. Senior advisors at the Home Office, the government department with broad responsibility for policing, border control and national security, currently led by Suella Braverman, MP, have reportedly been shown the dossier and seemingly did not dispute its veracity, with The Sun saying that they acknowledged the danger posed by criminals who arrived here illegally. Well, why don't they do something about it then? How can they acknowledge that there is a danger on the one hand and then do nothing at all about it on the other hand? They say that they're going to give money to France and that's going to stop this problem. How is that going to stop this problem? The French people don't want them in their country. The French will take money from us to supposedly stop them. They'll stop one or two, make a big thing about it, and then they'll let 90% of them make their way to Britain. I mean, that's what's going to be in their best interest, isn't it? Because it means they don't have so many of these illegal immigrants in their country, and they also get paid large amounts of cash by Britain. It's win-win for France, isn't it? Whether they get given the money from Britain or not, it means that they're going to not have so many of these illegal immigrants in their own country. I mean, I've seen pictures recently of Paris. It looks dreadful. It looks in a dreadful state. A right mess. France is probably one of the most diverse countries in Europe, with one of the most diverse capitals. And it really does look a mess, and they have a lot of crime there. And a lot of the crime is being carried out by junior migrants. It's actually being carried out by migrants that claim to be children. Of course, if you claim to be a child, you're more likely to be accepted by the state, and they then have a responsibility to house you quicker because you're claiming to be under the age of 16. This is another problem that we have. If these illegal immigrants have thrown their documents away, they can then claim to be children. And because of their human rights, of course, we can't test their teeth. We can't do medical tests on them because any doctor that does the medical test has a silence clause. They're not supposed to talk about people's medical records unless they've been given permission to do so. So we can't check them. Anybody that does check them, that points out that actually these aren't children, like the dentist in Sweden did, you can end up being struck off for doing that. So the Home Office claims it wants to do something about this. You've got Rishi Sunak saying that he's going to do something about this. He's going to stop this. But when shown this dossier of almost 1,000 of these migrants that are violent criminals, they just say, oh, well, we understand there is a danger in criminals who arrive here illegally, but we're not going to do anything to stop encouraging them here. We're not going to stop putting them up in hotels. We're not going to stop giving them legal aid. We're not going to stop processing their asylum claims if they break into the country. A tabloid highlighted a few of the criminals, said to include gangsters, drug dealers and fraudsters, in particular selecting a convicted murderer from Albania, a serial pedophile from Iraq and an Islamic State terrorist from Iran as standout cases. That's quite a bizarre one, isn't it? An Islamic State terrorist from Iran. Islamic State are Sunni, aren't they? And Iran is a Shiite country, so that is a bizarre one there. You have to wonder whether he was an Iranian living in another country rather than actually living in Iran, whether he'd already claimed asylum somewhere else. And we do have to point out, these are just the ones that have been caught. We don't know about the ones that didn't actually get involved in the system when they came into Britain. The Albanian, convicted of murdering his wife in his homeland, a Muslim-majority country in the Balkans, had his asylum claim rejected after his record was uncovered. But he had already been released into the community, and the authorities lost track of him for months. Don't know what he was getting up to in that time. He had his asylum claim rejected, but he'd already disappeared by that point. And you wonder how many of these people have disappeared before it gets found out that they're actually a violent criminal. He was not detained after he was found either, with The Sun reporting that he is living in a taxpayer-funded house and being given taxpayers' money to appeal his claim's rejection on the grounds that he would be in danger from his victim's family back home. And while he's here, he's helping to run a car wash where he allegedly employs illegal immigrant Romanians, despite not having the right to work. So our laws are such that if you claim to be at risk at your home country, at risk from victims of your crime, you will be allowed to stay here. Just incredible the way that British law works. I should imagine that it's supposed to be set up so that if we have laws that are different in Britain, things that you can do in Britain that you couldn't do back in, say, a third world country, and the person was a political dissident in that third world country, and they would be at threat of being locked up for the rest of their life, then you could say, well, that's a clear danger. And that's probably what that law was intended to be used, how it was intended to be used. And it was also intended to be used amongst white countries, really. And after the Second World War, when these laws came in, it was Europeans that were refugees, and we just had this Second World War, and we had lots of European refugees. Now these refugees are coming in from other countries, and they're using these laws to come up with excuses like this. I mean, he should be at risk from his victim's family because he murdered his wife. Of course he's going to be at risk. And if he murdered his wife in Britain, he would be at risk. There's no different whether you carry out a crime like that in Britain or Albania, but Britain seems to want to help these people not to actually have to face up to the crimes that they've carried out. And it's been exposed here that he's employing illegal immigrant Romanians, probably gypsies. He doesn't even have the right to work, so they must know where he is. I mean, the government must know what all these illegal immigrants are doing. The police must know where they are, but they either don't have the resources. Well, it's probably two things. They don't have the resources, and they also don't have the will to do anything about this. This isn't a top priority for them. The newspaper claims he boasted of his criminal past when they approached him, and that he said he came to Britain for a new life and lives in Northampton and have a girlfriend with a child. So his point of coming to Britain was to meet somebody else, meet somebody already here, get them pregnant, and then he would have the right to stay here. That was his ambition. The Iraqi pedophile, meanwhile, is said to have targeted children whilst in Britain, and the Iranian ISIS fighter has been arrested for carrying a weapon in London. And we've had quite a few of these boat migrants that have actually been caught going after children. I've seen a few videos on Twitter that these pedophile hunters have put up there, identifying the fact that these people have barely been in the hotel before they're going on Instagram and other social media trying to proposition children. And these pedophile hunters, they basically pretend to be children so that they can capture these people, catch them out, and then give the information to the police. And you certainly do seem to have quite a high number of them amongst these people that are claiming to be refugees. The Sun suggests that few of the criminals will ever be deported because of claims their human rights would be violated in their home countries, or that they require treatment for mental or physical health issues from the taxpayer-funded National Health Service that they would find difficult or impossible to get at home. That's an incredible one, isn't it? They can come over here with a disease or some serious physical health issue. They can go to the hospital, they can start getting treatment, and then they can say, oh, well, they wouldn't be able to continue this treatment back in my home country. I'll just have to stay here. I mean, the Americans think that's absolutely incredible because they have to pay for all their health care. They have to pay for insurance. If they don't have insurance, they have to pay for the individual medical treatment, which can go into tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And yet what we have in Britain, I mean, they could, if they claim to be a refugee, these Americans, they could just come to Britain, couldn't they? Claim to be a refugee, throw their documents away, and then they could get their cancer treated on the NHS or whatever other life-threatening illness they might have. You know, there are people that have life-threatening illnesses in America that just don't get the treatment because they can't afford it. Amazingly, such thin excuses often prove enough for a British judge to block deportation, with an infamous 2020 case seeing the courts grant asylum to a Taliban fighter who had already had 6 taxpayer-funded appeals against his removal rejected on grounds that he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, possibly acquired, if real, while aiding the Islamist movement's war against British and Allied forces. And his claim was that Afghanistan would not treat him as well as the NHS. So somebody who fought against the British forces is now here. We know that he was a part of this group that was fighting against the British forces. And he says he's got post-traumatic stress disorder. And his appeals keep getting rejected, but he keeps getting another taxpayer-funded appeal, doesn't he? He keeps getting legal aid, even though his appeals have been turned down. 6 appeals turned down. And then on the 7th one, he's allowed to stay. And we have British people, British citizens, that are unable to get legal aid because there just isn't enough in the pot. There isn't enough in the pot to actually pay the barristers and pay the solicitors the fees that they should be due. And the reason for that is because it's all gone on these other issues that wouldn't normally be there, that we wouldn't normally be having to pay legal aid for 40,000 illegal immigrants every year. And if you go back 30 or 40 years ago, that just wasn't the case, was it? But it is the case today. And if all the money for legal aid is going on these cases, there's none left to go on the cases of the British citizens, is there? If people knew the truth about these people, it would provoke national outrage. And it should, the Sun's whistleblower said of the migrants in the dossier. Well, this is the sort of thing that Patriotic Alternative are trying to do, aren't we, really? We're trying to get this message out. We've got protests, we've got demonstrations, we've got banner drops, we've got leaflets that people are putting out, just trying to make people aware of what is going on. And over the last couple of years, it does seem to have hit the mainstream, thanks to Steve Laws exposing this on his website. And now it is mainstream news, and you have The Sun talking about this. But a few years back, we were just accused of hate speak and being haters and racists for being concerned about this and for drawing attention to it and all the problems that it causes. I mean, this is mainly concentrating on the fact that criminals can just get into the country and then we have to look after them. But you haven't just got that going on. You've also got the amount of money that it costs for the schools, amount of money that costs for the hospitals. This is concentrating on illegal immigration. But you've got all those same problems with legal migration. I mean, the only different problem that you have with illegal migration is that you don't know who these people are, so criminals could sneak into the country. And when you look at everything you have to go through, going through passport control to actually get back into your own country, and then you think, well, these people can just get in with no documents. They get put up in a hotel. When they get moved from the hotel, they don't end up being taken back to their country of origin. When they move out from the hotel, they get put in a house that's being rented by the government. The government pay for the rent. Or they get given a council house rather than the council houses going to the people that actually live in the country. There's an area in Wales at the moment, Vale of Glamorgan. They're moving in a large number of refugees there. There was a school there that the locals wanted to get turned into a medical centre. They were told, you can't have this turning into a medical centre. What we're going to do is we're going to turn it into refugee accommodation. And the people that live there, the citizens of Britain, the Welsh, they have a great long housing list that they can't actually get on. And yet they've been told, well, we're going to turn this school into refugee accommodation. But they try to say that, oh, it's for Ukrainians. But if you look at the wording, it's not exclusively for Ukrainians. It's for anyone that is supposedly fleeing from war. And of course, there is no war in the countries surrounding Wales. These are people that have chosen to come here because they think that they will be able to make a better life for themselves here. They're not people that are coming here because they are fleeing war. That's just the excuse. But you've got people there that wanted to have a medical centre, and instead they're going to have all these refugees dumped on them. And they're saying, well, what about the housing list? We've got a 10-year wait to get a house. Where are the houses going to come from for these refugees? And you just know that they're going to get precedence over this. And this is why you have to draw attention to it. It's not hate speech. It's not inciting hate against these people. It's trying to get changes made at the government level or at the local government level, trying to get changes made to try and get our governments to look after its own people first. Then you can look after the others. Once we have nobody left on our housing list for the British citizens, that's when you can then start taking refugees in. But that is never going to happen, is it? Because we have this massive, great, long waiting list for council houses. So they say here, if people knew the truth about these people, it would provoke national outrage. It already is provoking national outrage. Hundreds of serious criminals are living all over the country, with many continuing to commit crimes, work illegally, and claim benefits. And once they get to this country, it is almost impossible to get rid of them, he added. This is mainly due to various legal barriers, including lengthy appeals, human rights issues, and a large backlog of cases. So they've got lots of reasons there. The legal barriers, they could get rid of these legal barriers. They could just say, well, you're not actually a proper asylum seeker, are you? Because you travelled through all these countries. You're actually here because you think you're going to be able to make a better life here. You're actually an economic migrant, or you might have family that are already in Britain. But to say that you're here as a refugee, you're fleeing war when there is no war in France, that cannot be true. The whistleblower warned that the already thinly stretched security resources simply do not have the resources to monitor everyone properly, alleging that senior civil service incompetence and political correctness also play a role in the issue. I would agree with that. I think it's probably about half and half, half incompetence, half political correctness. And as it says here, they don't have the resources to monitor everyone properly. The simple solution to that is to have a safe middle country that you can export these people to. And that's what should be going on. That's what I think is so good about this Rwanda idea. But they've gone about it all the wrong way. What was Steve Laws saying? That only 250 people can go to Rwanda every year, and they will get to pick and choose which ones it is. What they need is a deal like Australia has, where anybody that tries to break into Australia is taken to Papua New Guinea, which is a safe country, and there's a campsite at Papua New Guinea, and they can stay at the campsite until they think it is safe enough in their home country to go back to their home country, and then the return ticket to their home country is paid. But they're told there is no way that you are getting into Australia, but we will honour our agreements to take on refugees. It's just that we will honour that agreement in Papua New Guinea, not in Australia. And all Britain would have to do is do the same thing and just say, if people try to break into the country, yes, we will provide you with safety from war. We will take you to somewhere where there is no war going on. We will feed you. We will medicate you. But it will not be in Britain. And that was all they would have to do. And suddenly all of this problem would go away. They don't need to have loads of resources to monitor everyone properly, as it says here. But the reason why they don't do this, again, it's mainly political correctness, because they don't want to be seen as being mean to the migrants. The whistleblower said the only real way to solve this crisis is to stop them arriving in the first place. And that's what everyone is saying. Yet all we get from the politicians is, oh, we'll just give more money to France. Oh, we'll just find army barracks and holiday centres, holiday camps that we'll put them in. All we've got is a problem of space. That's not what the problem is. All the while they put them up, and all the while they give them they give them the hope that they can actually get into Britain, they're going to keep arriving, aren't they? The perennially incompetent Home Office told The Sun that Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and Home Secretary Braverman have outlined plans to legislate once and for all to stem the flow of migrants crossing the channel and ensure our borders are properly protected. Well, you can't do it with legislation, can you? What is the legislation that they're going to bring in? What they need to do is just start enforcing the law. Say if you break into the country, you're not going to be given asylum. If you claim asylum and you're not a Frenchman fleeing from France, you're not going to be given asylum. That's all they need to say. If Australia didn't have to bring in special laws, Britain doesn't have to bring in special laws. What a lot of people used to think, they used to think that all this is happening because we're a part of the EU. And if we vote to leave the EU, all of this will stop happening. Well, it hasn't stopped happening, has it? And you have countries in the EU that do look after their borders and protect their borders, countries like Poland, countries like Hungary. So claiming it was the EU was just an excuse. It was just an excuse that the politicians were using. The reality is that the Conservative Party have been in power since 2010. They've had a substantial parliamentary majority since the 2019 general election, but deportations have continued to fall and boat migrant landings have continued to increase year on year, with no sign of improvement. As I say, it seems to be doubling every year. And the simple solution to this is just to put anyone that tries to break into the country somewhere else in a safe country, like Rwanda. And we need a party in power that is going to do something about the legal migration as well, not just the illegal migration. We need people in power that are actually going to look out for the best interests of the indigenous British people, rather than looking out for the best interests of corporations and for their own individual best interests. We need to have people that have an understanding that everything that they have actually comes from all the people around them, and they need to start looking out for those people instead of looking out for number one. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.